Well, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I want to feel like I'm in an African church. Amen. I mean, praise the Lord. Amen. I said, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, give me J. Yeah. Give me E. G. Give me S. Yeah. U. Yeah. S. What do we have? What do we have? Salvation in the name of? Healing in the name of? Whom have we come to exalt this morning? Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to thank God that He made it possible for us to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. You know, if it was not for His mercy, I don't know where I would have been today. It's all by His mercy and His grace that we are here this morning and have witnessed worship. I was looking at the worship leaders and how obedient they were to just get us into His presence. You know, that's all we need. Amen. Is to be in the presence of the Almighty God. Because that's where it happens. Hallelujah. That's what makes a difference. Is to be in His presence. Hallelujah. And David says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, O God, are pleasured forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, despite what we go through, I mean, when we just meet God, when we come to lift that name, Jesus, it's like my sister was praying, I know all the needs have been met in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll age, you know, this young man who were praying music, the pastor's wife. Now, I'm not a prophet, but when I looked at them, it's like God saying, you haven't seen yet. You haven't seen none. All He wants from you is His heart. Your heart, not His heart. He wants your heart. Give Him your heart. If you give Him your hearts, He's going to make you lead His own into His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm also thankful to Pastor Tony this morning and his wife. You know, you've already said you've honored us for giving us your children. And I look it otherwise, you know. You're the one who has honored us to allow, you know, our children come and minister even before your people without even knowing where they're coming from. It's an honor to us. Like you've said, we've seen it in JJ, we've seen it in Nathan and Esther since they started coming here. They are changed children. You can ask my wife, I'll introduce my wife. They are changed children because I've learned a lot from my children. I've learned a lot. These kids have made me to draw closer to the Lord. And I listen from them to tell you the truth. We've given them room to say whatever they want to us. We don't look at them just like our children. We know the grace of God is upon their lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Tony. Thank you, Mrs. Tony. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I would call my wife, you know. This is a lady who has put up with this not guy so long. I mean, you know, at times I look at myself and where the calling upon my life. You know, us pastors are just difficult to handle, to tell you the truth. Very difficult to handle. And this lady you're seeing on my right hand, She's just put up with me for 20 years. In fact, 20 years, we celebrated our 20th year of marriage last May. Yeah. Hallelujah. And she wants to greet you and say something.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am honored to be here. I've enjoyed the presence of God in this place. If there is a place where I'd rather be, is in the house of the Lord. I enjoyed the worship. We thank God for what God is doing in this place. My kids tell me, they say, Mom, where we go, the church we go to, we love it. Everybody's so nice. I said, well, if that is so, then continue going there. Yeah, they try to explain to me. So today when I came in, I've seen it for myself. This is a wonderful place, and you are all blessed. You are blessed. I'm so blessed this morning. I've enjoyed the presence of God. I enjoyed the worship, and just the presence of God is awesome in this place. We just pray that may the Lord himself, who has started a good work in you, bring it to completion. Amen. Thank you. We are honored to be here this morning. We thank God. We give God the glory. Everything that is going on in this place, let's just give it to the glory to whom the glory is due. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I know one thing she hasn't mentioned is her name. She's Christine. Christine. Hallelujah. Close to Christian, right? Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start reading from verse 5 this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5 reads, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or standing in the churches and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father. I want for us to mark this word. Pray to who? To your Father. Hallelujah. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father, that's second, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father said, amen. Third time it has appeared. For your Father knows the things you have need before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, for in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Goes on 14, he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father, five times, will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father, six, forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to be fasting. Assuredly, I said to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who will reward you what? Openly. Now, if you go down, you've counted how many fathers have appeared. And when you are reading the Bible, I want to tell you that when you see one word appearing so many times, then you know the writer wanted to emphasize something to you. The writer wanted for you and me to understand something. And the writer knows that when you understand that which is emphasizing, then you'll be able to benefit from it. Amen. For the sake of those who like titles of messages, I will give it to you this morning. And the title of the message is Cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord now. Father in heaven, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, Lord, for it's dear unto you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and for your love for us. We thank you, Father, for what you've already done in this place this morning. For showing up, oh God, for the benefits of your children. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to stand before your children. These children whom you found worthy, Father, to die for. Lord, I'm praying, acknowledging that without you, there is nothing I can do. But Lord, you have said in your word, unless you build the house, the labor laboreth but in vain. Unless you watch over the city, Lord, you have said the watchman waketh but in vain. Lord, even as I stand before your people, I choose to decrease, that Jesus may increase. Lord, I totally depend upon your anointing. I pray this morning, touch my lips of clay. Let the word that will come out of mouth be as the oracles of the Almighty God. Nothing, Lord, be as something coming from man. In the name of Jesus, and touch the ears of the hearers this morning. As they hear your word, Lord, that you do fall on good grounds, where it will be able to bear fruits and fruits that will abide forevermore. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And let every saint say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm not a good story teller, but today I just feel like before I even go into scripts, I want to tell two stories. Amen. Hallelujah. The first story I'm going to tell, I know I didn't even tell my wife this, is the story about a movie I watched. It's called John Q. I don't know who watched that movie. I mean, I've never watched a movie by a Hollywood guy which touched my heart like John Q. Hallelujah. And you know, the movie goes on. There was a man by the name of John Q. He was married and he had a son who was growing up, you know, coming up the way any parent, any father or mother would like for their children to grow up. He had this boy, and the boy was an athlete, and he was a bodybuilder guy. And whenever he saw his dad, he would go to his dad, try to flex his muscle, just show his dad that I'm coming up. And you know, there was that connection between the father and the son. Wherever the father went, he was so proud of his child, talking about his child all the time. Oh, I have a son, you know. He's a board builder. And I know my son will grow up to be, a macho man. But it happened that when this kid was playing baseball, you know, he's playing baseball and he was, I don't understand baseball that well. If you ask me soccer, I'll tell you everything. Not baseball. But you know, he was there with his stick. He just hit a home run. And the boy was running, you know, towards the mark. As he was running, the father and the mother were there cheering the boy. Like, hey, come on, you can make it. But lo and behold, suddenly the boy just fell flat on his face. The father and the mother, where they were, they looked at that. They didn't know what had happened. They just went running, trying to, you know, resuscitate their son, you know. They went on, called 911. These paramedics came. They took the boy, rushed him to the hospital. In the hospital, the doctors were there checking him, and they turned to the parents and they say, you know, your son has a heart problem. His heart is growing big. And we don't know what we can do, except that he has a transplant. Now you think about that. This is a son you've been bragging about, the son you've loved so much, the son you've put everything into. And suddenly, that happened. He said, okay, do anything to make sure that we find a heart to replace the bad heart in my son. And the hospital told him, they said, you know, we cannot do this. First, you have to pay like $75,000. Now, this guy was just a normal worker, you know. I mean, all he was depending upon is just like many of us today, Medicare, and the HMOs, you know. And he went to his work trying to find out if these insurance people can help him so that the son had that surgery. The insurance said, we can't afford $75,000. You know what he started to do? Selling everything in his house. He sold his wedding rings, his wife's wedding ring, sold everything that was seen. He went and pawned that. Just follow with me. Follow me here. You hear what I'm going to say. He raised about $24,000, took the money to the hospital, and he said, look, I'm showing that I'm an honest man. I will pay everything. Just go ahead, put my son on a transplant wrist. They say, you know, how can we trust you with this $24,000 you've paid? After it has just paid for the days in which your son has been in hospital. My Lord Jesus. He went back home and the son's health started to deteriorate. I mean, the wife was there by the son's bed, looking his son almost dying. And this lady was in charge of, you know, putting them on the list. I think she was just something else. They tried everything. She was an hardcore. We call them hardcore, you know. She tried, I mean, she said, no, you gotta pay the money. And then she went to the wife and told the wife, he said, you know, we are giving you 1 week. If you don't come up with the money, get your son out of the hospital. Let him go die in your house. The husband, you know, he's been desperate looking for money. The wife calls the husband. Is like, what are you doing? This is what the hospital people are saying. What are you doing? The husband, look, I just paid 24,000. I'm trying everything, you know, everything to make sure that my son lives. And you know, at times, excuse me, I would say this, wives, at times when you face things like that, you know, you wives, you think you love children more than we do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. You just think like, hey, he doesn't even mind, you know. We are the one who carried them for 9 months. I mean, feed them and did. Yes, you did that. Because that's the anointing God gave you. Amen. But you have to understand, we love these children the same way you love them. I mean, in fact, the truth is you were not alone when they were brought into this world. I just want to mention this. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not going to go into that dog pound. You know what I mean? But that's just the truth. He calls the husband. The husband is like, look, I'm trying to do everything here. He said, why do you always say you are trying? Come on, do something. You see if this boy dies. My Lord Jesus. For the first time, that guy hold on to that phone. He started to cry. You know how heavy the burden became. Even someone who was supposed to stand by him and encourage him turned against him. Someone was thinking, I can go to and just cry on their shoulder. Maybe if they pat me on the back, I'll feel good. They say, you gotta do it. If you're not gonna do it, you'll see what will happen to you if this boy dies. He said, what am I going to do? You know what this guy did? He said, okay. He went around, you know, got the chains and the locks, and he got the gun, and he put it on his porch. He started to go to the hospital. When he entered the hospital, with just a bag, he went straight to the doctor who was supposed to perform that surgery. And he's like, man, let you come. I want to talk to you. They went by the corner. He said, look, can you please go beg that lady who's in charge to put the children on plan? This doctor said, there is nothing I can do. If she says it, she says she's in charge. He said, okay, follow me. He said, where are you taking me? He put the gun. He said, you follow me. I'm going to kill you before my son dies. The doctor follows and he took him straight to the ICU. There were people there. One lady was about to deliver and these sick people came. One was with his fingers cut, he's bleeding. And he says, everybody in. That's how he got them And he said, you know what? I'm going to hold up these people until you do something about my son. No one is going to live here. This guy with the wife, man, my wife is about to deliver. He said, I know. He's going to deliver even here. This one, look, man, my fingers are bleeding. I want for someone to. He said, I know you are doing it. You're just going through what I'm going through. You may not see the blood coming out, but I'm going through. The same thing you're going at heart. That's how he, you know, kidnapped everybody. And he locked the doors in the ICU. And he's like, it's either you put my son on the list or you're not going to see these people. And suddenly they started to call 911. Police came, surrounded, you know, the hospital. And everybody was there. I know, to just cut this long story short, what had happened was he went to that extent. He said, look, what I'm going to do, I know my son is going to die. That's why I'm here. I'm also going to die. You know, the police, you know, when those squad people, come, the guns pointing, they say, you know, we're only going to see two people dying here. That's what you want. But not my son. He said, I'm not going to let my son bury me. I'm not going to bury my son. My son will bury me. A father's heart. I'm not going to let, let myself bury my son. My son will bury me. Because you know what? I'm responsible over this soul. I'm here to protect this soul. God has honored me by giving me this soul. I'm here to provide for this soul. I know my wife was mad. I know my wife may have said it in a wrong way. But in a nutshell, she was right. It's my responsibility to provide for my son. If I can't provide the money the hospital wants, I'll provide my heart for my son. My Lord Jesus. And he went to the doctor. He said, what? You know what? Here's the gun. I'm going to shoot myself, and I want for you to cut me. Get my heart. Give it to my son. The doctor said, this has never been seen in this world. I'm not going to do this. He said, no, you're going to do it. And I don't want to hurt anybody near. That's why I'm taking my life. And doctor couldn't believe it. Until at last he said, okay, let's go and do this. They went on, you know. He laid on the bed. They put everything there. He gets the gun, put it on his head. Just when he was about to pull that trigger, there was good news coming. They said, your son have been put on the transplant list. And fortunately, there was a lady who was in an accident. They find out that this heart matches your son's heart. But you know, they never told him. They went and tell the wife. He's here with a gun. I'm looking. I'm like, man, what am I going to see? The wife comes running by the glasses. Oh, John, kill, please. Don't kill yourself. There is good news coming. What? He almost killed himself until he looked where the wife is. Let me hear what she's trying to say. They told him the good news. Now, like I said, What kind of love was that? I'm not going to let my son die. And I'm not going to bury my son. My son will bury me. Keep that in mind. Can I tell the second story? It's very, very short. This is a story also I read way back in my country. You know, we used to read this comic book called Smiler. I don't know whether it reached Kenya, but it used to come every Sunday. And everyone was just fighting, you know, like you buy Sunday newspapers. They liked this comic book because, I mean, there were funny stories there. You read, start to just crack, smile. And I read one story which has stuck in my heart up to today. You know, if you want to believe how a macho man I am today, if you want to know how strong I am today, if you want to know how, I don't care the way you look at me, but how important I am today, you go to Julius, JJ there, and try to convince JJ that you can beat me. I mean, go do it, even call him by the side today. Convince JJ, you know, JJ can put, I can get your dad. I'll put him down. You're not going to convince him. In JJ's mind, to tell you the truth, only daddy can beat them all. I mean, he can look short, hefty, but you don't play with my daddy. If you do anything to me, I'm going to run and call my daddy. I'm going to cry, Abba. I'm going to cry, Father, to him. And the story goes on, you know. There are so many times, at times we disappoint our children. Smiler was just like JJ, you know. He believed in the Father. I mean, he knew daddy can take down anybody. There is no giant on earth who can take down my daddy. I mean, daddy is daddy. You know, like we do this. Smiler's daddy had bought a bouncing ball for Smiler. He used to play it behind, you know, on the back of the yard, kicking it, doing everything. And one time it happened. He kicked the boy. It went into another man's yard. And for that matter, you know how we regard gardens in our country. You've grown vegetables. I mean, that's, you know what I mean. No chicken should come around. No dog should come around and mess with my garden. Nobody should come and trample on my crops. I mean, I'll get them. He kicked the ball. This guy, I mean, he was huge, tall. Muscular guy was the owner of that garden. He went on. He picked the ball. Went in the house. Smiler is like, sir, can you please give me my ball? My dad just bought that ball for me. He's like, you know what? You're not going to see this ball because if I give it back to you, still kick it into my garden. Smiler went running to the father. I mean, he cried, Father! And you know how the father does when a son cries like, you come out. Hey, what has happened? He said, you know what? Somebody got the ball which you bought for me, one. And Smira's daddy was smaller, just like me, you know. He flexed his muscle, you know. He said, let's go, son. We got to go get the ball. I bought it. He did not buy, you know, this ball. And they are going. You know what? Going smile with confidence. Ah, daddy's going to get my ball. I mean, they knocked on this guy's door. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. He comes out, smile as daddy is on the west here. He looked up, he said, sir, are you the one who got my son's boy? He said, yes, what do you want? I'm not going to give you your boy. You, if you want, do whatever you want. You know what? Smiler's dad looked at Smiler, you know, and you know what he did? He said, oh, let's just go home. I'll buy you another boy. I'm going to buy another. Don't worry about that boy, you know. You know how Smira was not disappointed for anything, but the confidence he had in dad disappointed him. I mean, this boy knew that dad can bring them down. And daddy says, He wasn't even happy that daddy said, I'm going to buy you another ball. You know what? He was like, daddy, you disappoint me. I mean, I hope you were going to just bring him down so that I can have that freedom to kick my ball without being scared of any giant. You know, have three fathers would do that. Now let's get into the message. I read chapter 6 of Matthew this morning because I wanted to drive a point to you. And I wanted to drive this point, let you know that, you know, when Jesus came here on the earth, he came here to just do one thing for you and me. Now, you have to understand that in the Old Testament, they never addressed God as Father. In the Old Testament, they knew God as Mighty God. They knew God as God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, the Holy One of Israel. They knew him otherwise, not as Father. They knew him as the God who was supposed to be feared, you know, revered. In fact, today we are here, we call the names like Jehovah, Yahweh. In the Old Testament, they were even forbidden to call God by that name. That's how they knew God. But Jesus comes in. He said, the only way I can draw these people closer to this God is to change the perception they have about God. Change their perception. Change the way they look at this God. If I change that perception, they will be closer to him. They will go to him with joy. They will go to him in faith and trust, just like the little child trusts his father today. He's teaching his disciples in the chapter we've just read. He said, look, whatever you do today, you know, you need to have a motive. And the best motive you can have is whatever you do today. Listen to me, because this is our job even as pastors today. You know what our priority job is? When I come to you, I'm speaking to you like I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you for nothing else but to draw you closer to the one who's able to meet all your needs. I'm here saying, look, as a man, I can disappoint you at any time. You can call me the anointed one. I don't care. You can call me the man of God. You know me like a man when I'm praying. I mean, I move mountains. But look, as a human being, one day or another, I'm going to disappoint you. And Jesus knew there is only one who cannot disappoint you. Only one and one. That is Abba, who is in heaven. Now the Bible says he's the one before you were conceived in your mother's womb. He knew you. The Bible says he called you by your name. He planned you. No man planned you. I'm sorry to say this. We say family planning all the time. No, you don't even plan anything. God is the one who plans. You look at me today. Let me tell you the truth. I was planned by the Almighty God. And I tell people, I'm like, you have to understand. I am so proud that I know deep down my heart, nobody can take my life. Nobody. You know what? My life is marked by God. My life is in the hands of the Lord. God alone is the one who knew my day to check out. My wife doesn't know. None of my kids know about it. Only God. You know what? He's the one who planned me. Jesus comes on the scene. He says, I'm going to draw these people closer to this God. They have to know he's up there. And I'm looking at it. I gave a meaning to this word, Father. You know what? Because this changed also the perception I had about God. It changed completely when I had my first child. That's the Esther you know there. Because when she was born, you can ask my wife. I mean, I used to pastor a church that time, and you know in Africa you have to be everywhere where it's happening as a pastor. You gotta be found where there is a funeral, you mourn with them, and if there is a wedding, you are there. Everything happening there in the hospital, you are there. At times we even neglect our own families. Because you just wanna be there wanting to please people. Oh, if I do not do this, they're going to leave my church. If I do not do, but look, you are a human being. You are, and you get tired. But you know, this perception, Pastor, changed when I had my baby. Ask my wife. I was at work from 8 to 5 at times. I'll end up somewhere. But when my daughter was born, exactly 5 when it creaks, I'm heading home. I don't care what they say. I just wanted to be there to see my own daughter growing. I'll be there looking at Esther. I'll look at his finger, the nose, just to see if she looked anywhere closer to me. My Lord and my God. We argued with my wife when somebody comes, oh, this baby looks like you. I'm like, you're a liar. This baby looks like me. I just became proud. When she called me Father, oh, Lord. Father, and you know, in our culture, even my name changed. Nobody called me Julius. They called me the father of Esther. My Lord Jesus. I just feel good. They just, everywhere I go, if you see my mother, Mama, she also became proud. Whenever she saw me, she never called me my son or what. He said, in my language, we say, Vashi Esther. Why, she Esther, the father of the Esther. Everybody, and I know, you know what? I've now become a responsible man. I'm now responsible to a soul. And God proved me one day. I'll tell a short story. You know, in our country, when you have burglars, you know, coming, wanting to steal your things in the house, they will come. In my country, they used to come like in a mob, not one person. You know, in Africa, they saw you coming, brought by a car, going, you have one suit, you know, or just a jacket. They think he's got everything in his house. And one day, I'm with my wife, my daughter. She just put Esther to sleep, and I used to live with one brother of my age in the other room because it was a big house. We were like 11 p.m. My wife said, no, I'm hearing funny noise. It's coming from the kitchen. I'm like, no, you know, you just sleep, you know. She said, no, I'm hearing that funny noise in the kitchen. Then I paid attention. You know what happened? I heard them too. And apparently one or two of them had already entered the house. And they are searching. You know what I said? The first thing I thought about is, how am I going to protect my wife and my daughter? I didn't think about my life. I asked my wife and my daughter, she's here, go hide under the bed. Now remember, I had another guy who was not responsible in another room. And I'm like, we are two men here, we can fight them. Look, I called my friend, Steve. He never answered. You know where he was? Under the bed. Hiding too. And I'm like, look, I know this guy, I'll leave him. And in the house that time, you know slashers? Slashers we used to do, you know, yeah, grass. That's the only weapon which I had. I'm leaving my wife and my daughter in the bedroom. She's like, where are you going? They will kill you. Just be there. I'm like, look, I would rather die or they kill me so that I cannot see what they're going to do to you. I went out there. She talks about it. She said, where did you get that boldness? I went out with a slasher and I just hit the slasher. You know, those houses we have is all concrete. Bah! And I don't know if it's the Holy Ghost. The fire just came like, bah! The guys were in the kitchen. They saw the fire. They started scampering out. They went out. They were shouting that, if you come out, we'll kill you. And I'm like, if you come in, I'm going to kill you. My Lord Jesus. I mean, I don't know what they call it. I just became a macho man. Managed to chase all these guys. I don't know. They were speaking in some strange language. I come, I'm like, I'm not going to sleep. Maybe they would come back. This guy was, and you know the time I talked to this guy? When it was done in the morning. He comes, he says, man, how did you manage to chase those people? You know what I said? I said, just shut up. You don't know what you are talking about. But you have to understand, these were my responsibility. That girl had called me father. He had already told me, look, you are responsible over my life. You are there to protect me. You are there to lead me, guide me into paths of righteousness. My Lord Jesus, you are there. Look, to just make sure that I'm nourished. This word, Father, and Jesus knew, he said, if I give it to them, they start to look at God as the one who is responsible over their lives, their perception of him will change. My Lord Jesus, Abba Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, sisters and brothers, there is only one you're supposed to please. Please him. There is only one you're supposed to get closer to. Get closer to him. If what I'm saying this morning can draw somebody closer to him, that's my heart's cry. That's my heart's desire. My Lord and my God. This is the only way. You know, that's our job, Pastor. You know what John the Baptist said when he was called to be a prophet? He said, "You are the Christ." He said, "I'm not the Christ, I'm just the way. I've come to prepare the way for you. I've come to, there is somebody who's higher than me." What do we do as pastors is just to prepare a way to, for you to get close to him. Because you get close to him, look, all your needs will be met. I'm not ashamed to say that God can do anything for you. I've experienced some of the things. He gave me power that time I've never even experienced today. But when I heard that someone is coming trying to attack my family, it was over my dead body. You're not going to get them. You got to pass through me. My Lord Jesus, just like John Quincy, I'm not going to let my son be buried by me. I'm not going to make my son be buried by me. I'll bury, my son will bury me. You know what I mean? My son is going to bury me. Maybe let's go and read just some of the scriptures so that you understand. He's telling them, please God. Now, before he even went to six, he's telling them, teaching them, you know, Sermon on the Mountain. If you read the Sermon on the Mountain, he was talking about the attitude we have. That's where he was saying, you know, if someone slaps you here, give them there. If you do a ABC, but he changes. He said, now, it's not about attitude. It's about the motive. He tells them, number one, you know, priority motive you should have is what? To please him. Amen. Now, listen to what Jesus did as an example, because the Bible says he came to make sons for God. Amen. The purpose Jesus came, the Bible says in John 1:12, I'll quote it. It says, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. To those who received him, what did he do? He gave them power to be what? Sons of God. You know, I'll quote again because I don't want to make you stay long here. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5 coming down. The writer of Hebrews comes, he said, look, have you ever heard in any place where God has addressed the angels as his children? Huh? Have you ever read in the Bible where God says, and the angels are my children? You know what? Because angels were not made in his image, nor his likeness. You and me were made in his image and his likeness. Let's go read Hebrews. I'll be fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible reads, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me what? A son. Follow me. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, who is the firstborn? The Bible is talking about it. Jesus Christ is the firstborn. He says, when he brings the firstborn into the world, listen what the Bible says. He said, let all angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of what? Your kingdom. Listen what I like, what he said to Jesus. That's why the number one priority, you have to know how to please this God. I mean, just do things which will make you to always be in his presence. Do things which will make you to what? To be closer to him. Listen to what he says here. He said, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved what? And hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. He's anointed you with oil of gladness more than your compadres, eh? More than your companion. That's why at times, you know, you wonder, why does it seem that other people look favored than you? Here is the secret. You love righteousness, hate what is lawlessness. He's going to do the same to you. You are his child. Amen. You are his child. Look, I like the book of John. Some of you, when we read John and he says, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, you know what we think? We said, it was just written by the Holy Spirit. No. John put it there. And he said that by him. He knew. You know what? The Bible describes him as John was always in the bosom of who? Amen. And he knew that Jesus loved. It's a personal issue. Amen. It's not because my wife is close to God, I'm close to God. No. Because my child is close to God, I'm close to God. That's not the way it works. It's a personal issue. Look, you are the son of God. You are the daughter of God. Do everything a daughter would do to please the father. Do everything a son would do today to please who? The father. That which you do, when you do it, you know you will always be the favorite of the father. You can do it. Jesus. Can we move on and read chapter 2 in closing? Chapter 2 of the same book. Listen to what the Bible says here. Because I know the writer of Hebrews understood this. Hebrews chapter 2, we'll start reading from verse 6. And he said, but one testified in a certain place, listen, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of what? Him. You have made him a little lower than angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. And set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Hallelujah. For it was fitting for him for whom all things, by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Many who? Sons to glory. And he said, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those, for both, the Bible says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all of one Father. Who sanctifies he? Jesus does the sanctification. Who are the sanctified? We are. And he said they are all of what? One Father. It's scripture. These are not my words. And he wanted for us to understand that. Cry Father to him. Make him know that you understand and you know he's responsible over your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.